The first thing that we like to do here is identify that we have the right people in the room. Now, I do want to say ahead of time that I got in the room from lunch and you were already here, which really messed with my mind.
We have our ways.
Yeah, I know.
We're sneaky little submarines, after all.
It's not very rock and roll, is it?
No, it isn't. Gosh darn it. So would you identify yourself, please, to make sure that I do indeed have the right individuals in the studio? You look like them, but actually there's no... I saw you on those. I think it was MySpace site, but there's no picture of you on this. So therefore,
yes. So
I have no idea if this is really the right...
It might not be us. You're never going to know for sure, I guess.
I guess I'm not.
But I'm John.
When we get into the questions, believe me, we'll find out when you start going, huh? You're John, and you're with what? What's the name of that?
I'm John, and I'm in the Submarines.
Are the Submarines a band?
Not really. well, it's just the two of us. And Blake's on that other microphone.
Hi, Blake.
Hi.
And you're Blake, and you're with the...
I really am.
And you're with the...
I really am Blake. From the Submarines.
Okay, good.
And I think we kind of are a band.
So
we beg to differ already.
Well, no. We're going to get into your story, and I already know you've begged to differ over the years anyway.
Are we panned hard left and right? Because you should keep us apart here.
You want me to do that?
Sure.
Hang on a second.
Let's take full advantage of this stereophonic
Blake, let me
setup.
Okay, you know what? Hang on. Here are my headphones. Oh. You each go ahead. Each talk, and
okay.
I'll show you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Blake, see where are you?
For one thing, I'm loud, but I'm on the right.
Yes, you are. Okay, now check to...
I'm on the left.
Him.
We're not a band.
Yeah, he's very much on the
We're
left.
Not
okay,
a band.
Okay, good. I'll take my headphones back. I'm not going to edit this part out. I think I was going to leave this just like this. You asked for it. You got it. You're
so
panned.
Someone's got a broken speaker.
We haven't done this before.
You're panned,
but I'm in the middle, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I'm in both speakers.
Where you should be.
Okay, we have to start with Boston because I lived there from 79 to 86.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
And I get back often. So let's talk about where we've lived and hung out for at least the first 5 minutes of the interview.
Sure.
I'll start with Alston. Because I was living
on. Is that where you live?
During grad school, did Alston.
BU. Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I lived, I was there for about 16 years. So I lived pretty much in every possible.
Okay,
part
so
of
I did.
Boston.
I did Alston, mm-hmm. Brookline, mm-hmm. Charles River Park.
Oh boy!
Which everybody, you know what, Charles? You know the big sign on Star Drive. If you lived here, you'd be home now.
Yeah, wow!
Those tall buildings.
I never knew anybody that lived there.
Yeah,
that's pretty wild.
It was a studio apartment. This is all. This has nothing to do with rock and roll, but that's okay. And then the best apartment ever, Exeter at Newberry.
Oh,
meanwhile,
brother.
Dear Network Records, we did nothing to promote the CD. We just messed around and talked about Boston.
About Boston and all the places we live.
But all these Boston bands at South by Southwest, the neighborhoods got back together.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. A friend of ours is putting that.
You know, we've had Mission of Burma in here several times.
Sure.
And yes.
Yeah.
Okay, enough.
But
all kidding aside, Boston is an amazing music scene. And there are certain places that when you know people come from in some way, shape, or form... that you're going to get a certain kind of music. And even when Boston music got loud, there was still melody in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
There's definitely some kind of bedrock pop sensibility.
By the way, I'm freaking out about this because...
Is it very weird?
Well, because... Well, you know why it's weird? Because your stage... Because you're here...
Oh, so you're hearing me.
No, actually, no, it's working. Maybe I should just prefer... Never mind.
You can bring us closer together.
I'd be on your right.
No, I like this.
Okay.
I think it'll be a really good test because if somebody doesn't plug their speaker in properly...
Well, they're just going to get one side of the
story. They're just going to hear one side of the story, and that's even better. Okay, now that we've gotten...
As long as it's my side.
Now we've gotten all the...
No, I'm just kidding.
This is the way these interviews go. This is it. They don't get any better than this.
This is great.
But I'm going to get deep. So now that we've gotten taken care of all the nonsense... The media is already trying to categorize you. Electronic sounds combined with real live instruments, products of Harvard and Beck. So in your own words, what really are the Submarines?
Products of Harvard and
Well, come
Beck?
On, you went to Harvard, right?
And, that is such a strange
and somebody was into
amalgam of
Well, no, I combined all the crap. But the bottom line is that when you put it all together, you know, they're already saying, "Well, it's kind of electronic, but sort of put real instruments in." You know, I mean, I go and I read the first three pages of Google just to see what they say.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, you know, you went to Harvard University, so therefore you're really smart. And, you know, and you were associated with Beck in some way. I mean, I don't know.
He was
Well, just so to funny. Jump back through the loophole, if we're being like, loophole. But, you know, I only went there for 2 years.
She's still pretty
so,
smart.
So I can't claim. And then also, you know, John's been doing what he's been doing since before.
Right.
That fellow Beck came around.
Right.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, there's no influence
Drag,
there.
Which,
yes, we're going to get there. Yeah. Yes, I know. Yeah. I know this.
That's
And I'm not, we're big fans. I love what he does.
So there you go.
So that's no, that's...
We'll get to the story soon.
Look like Blake and sound like Blake.
Mm. I'd like Beck much better. Never mind. You toured with each other's bands. See, segue, mm-hmm. and decided to combine relationship and music. Mm. But the rock and roll thing really isn't new. So tell me about the Jack Band, and then tell me about the band you were in, and how it all kind of give me the. You know, the short version of the story. And I will give you question 5 so you can add this into one long story. But this is like a soap opera, but it almost didn't happen. You split up in 2004, but music, big sigh, kept you together. So now tell the whole story.
Should I start or do you want to
see, this is an early interview. By another month, you're going to be bored with doing this. So I've got you early.
It's possible.
Well, yeah. Blake and I, we met each other about 6 years ago, maybe. And but I'd been in Boston for a while, so I had this band Jack Drag, and you know, we put out some records, and you know, we're on A&M for a while, and put out a couple other, you know, records on small labels, and Blake and I shared a mutual friend who also played in both of our bands, Joe Columbus, and so anyways, yeah, that's how we met, and I started working with Blake on her record. And then that's when we sort of really got to like each other. And, well, I don't know. That's up to you tell.
Okay, Blake, take over.
Okay.
From the right, as they say.
Well, I guess, in terms of, like you were saying, we kind of came from having our own bands. I would say we were essentially both kind of, recording and playing sort of as solo artists, although John had, 2 other guys in his band, Jack Drag, with him. But he kind of started that project on his own. So we were kind of both doing solo things, and whenever we would play, we both had to kind of put bands together. You know, so like we had Joe in common that he played bass with us both, and then we just sort of started playing in one another's bands. So we would tour, like when Jack Drag would go on tour, you know, I'd go and vice versa. And John was going to much more glamorous places than I was, so I would say I got the good end of that deal, but... You know, we went around Europe.
Peoria versus Boise, yes. Yeah.
So, you know, and then...
clubs without cages in front of the stage.
Yeah, not a lot. Although there were some cages.
I'm not sure if I've done that before.
I can think of a place in Barcelona that had a strange...
Okay, so you got together, but then social stuff kind of got in the way.
Well, we lived in Boston for a while together, and then we decided to move out to Los Angeles.
Right.
And I immediately went away on tour by myself, and then when I got back, we broke up after that for about, I don't know exactly how long.
It was a few months, but, you know, so we split up, you know, pretty much that was it. That's what we thought anyway, and
here you are.
Yeah, well, yeah, and we were working on material separately around the same time, and just by the nature of what we were each going through, it all sort of thematically kind of worked together. And so when we finally did end up spending more time together again, and our breakup basically failed. So
that's good.
Know, we
a failed breakup's much better than the other option.
Yeah,
by a long shot.
Than a failed relationship.
You know,
exactly.
And, yeah. So anyway, so we had this material sort of, you know, that just had it worked together. And well, that's a whole other story if we want to get into that.
We're going to get there. Believe me, we got a few questions here.
Yes.
One of your wedding presents was the mastering of the album. What else did you get? I mean, the mastering
of
the album.
This.
I do my research. Yeah. I know a lot.
What does that one sheet over there say?
It's not on the one. I know a lot.
It's true, though. Our friend Jeff did master the record as a wedding present, which was incredibly generous.
That's an expensive.
Really cool.
That's a lot more than
average wedding present.
Than a wedding cake.
Yeah. I'll say.
It's amazing. Okay. Yeah, he's great too. He did the. He's. Have you heard of Jeff?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's
good sounding album. So what else did you get? Did you get anything else weird and funky and interesting as a wedding present?
Well, you know, people got a little creative. But generally, I mean, I think we, you know.
What, Crate and Barrel?
Crate and Barrel does mastering? You're kidding.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a new series.
I'd like the vase, and I'd like the mastering, please. Could you get the levels right on the vases, please?
Yeah.
A little reverb on the sofa, please. The album really reminds me of a lot of things, in a good way. But I think, I'm here to say this could be the album of the summer coming out of boomboxes on the beach.
Oh, that's interesting.
Don't you think? It's a very summery kind of
nice
thing.
That's nice to hear,
that
actually.
That is nice to hear. Because I think that when, John, maybe you could say whether you feel this way or not, but when I listen to the record, definitely there's a certain sadness to it, you know, just because it reminds me of the time that we went through and, you know, but it's true. I mean, it's essentially pop song, so.
Oh, yeah. And the harmonies, there are just a few tracks that you've done that is a little bit like Modern Inventions, example. You've got the warm sounds, but then I call it cacophony. Yeah. Then there's that jarring guitar that comes in. So methodology, did you just kind of start with the basics and then just keep adding stuff till it felt right, until you said, whoa, okay, I've got a lot here?
Sometimes.
And not in a bad way. It's just that it starts out so sweetly and the harmonies are fabulous and suddenly it's, and there it is. And you're like, okay, this is a little different than what I was expecting here.
I mean, some of this stuff is done like, I mean, a lot of the material was written just, you know, before we got into the production side of it. But I think a song like that, really did sort of build out of like, you know, a sample and then building on top of that and harmonies and, you know, just sort of came together as a studio thing. So you just try to get as adventurous as possible with that.
And again, one of the write-ups who will remain nameless because we just don't want to get anybody in trouble and no violence in the studio. Mm-hmm. But they do go out of their way to talk about the electronic aspect of the music. So on Good Night, is that real strings?
Good Night.
Oh.
Are there real strings there somewhere?
No. Yeah, well, They were once real strings before they were sampled.
So there's sampled synth real strings.
There are some real viola strings on the record.
Because people are going to want to know that because they're going to hear the record. And again, you know, some of the buzz has already been, well, it's electronic meets Beach Boys meets. And you're like, oh,
it's not a very electronic sounding record. Though.
Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. But people love to label.
It's just the two of us for the most part. Yeah, so I guess you could say there's a lot of.
Yeah, there definitely are like electronic elements. But there are also, you know, sort of organic, you know, acoustically played instruments.
Basically,
on it as well.
Electronics trying to fool people. That's what we're trying to do, right?
Now, there's a great name for a band. Electronics trying to fool people. And what would that see? Electronics trying ETTFP.
Wow. Nah, that sounds pretty sci-fi.
Never mind.
Yeah, it could be some experimental German.
The acronym is not going to work. It's going to fail. So on my advanced CD here, it says, not out until May 30th. On your site, it says June 20th, but it's on iTunes already.
Well, we've been...
So people are mostly hearing...
Blame that on the label.
So when you play... Well, I did have a point... Well, we'll blame everything on the label.
Network? We've been great, actually. We're big fans. I've been really impressed by just, like, there are good people.
They're kind of an interesting label, the mix of things that they have.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild, and they're kind of still indie, but yet they've got the power to get things
out
there.
I mean, to me, like, most importantly, they're all people who really care about the music.
Right.
You know, and that's, like, first and foremost, you know, it's the most
important. But believe it or not. But I actually had a point. These questions rarely actually make points, but I have one here. A majority of the people that you're playing to are going to be hearing these songs for the first time, right?
Yeah.
So what's that going to feel like? Because a lot of bands, at least, you know, when they go on tour for the first time, there's at least one song they already know to hum to. So what's that going to feel like for you? It's really kind of wild, isn't it?
I feel like it always has.
Yeah. I mean, I think like being like having toured in bands and playing to people, you know.
It doesn't matter.
As an opener or something, you're always playing to people, you know.
Unless you have We Will Rock You, in which case, you know.
Yeah. If you're not playing any covers, then it's always new to some people in the audience, you know, and you just hope to kind of win people over. But I would say that even when people do know your songs, you're kind of trying to win them over anew at times. You know, it's like you have to keep performances fresh anyway. So in some ways, it's like, well, here we are with this totally fresh thing, you know, even though...
It's not even a full band tonight, too.
Is it you and a really good synthesizer, sampler thingy?
Well, our friend Peter, he's a really great piano player, and he's kind of
fill in all the blanks.
He's attached an extra hand.
No, because when you, all kidding aside, when you do have a record like that that does have so much production in it, playing it live.
It's the challenge.
Well, it is. I mean, having just come back from South by Southwest, the big thing would be was like, oh, they're playing acoustic? I don't want to go see them acoustic. I want to see the band.
Yeah.
You know, and it depends on whether the person really can pull it off acoustically, because there's some of you sit there and you're like, oh my God, just get the band, please.
Yeah, it's true.
Save yourself. It's not working.
Right.
I don't know. Well, who knows? but this will be like. But we're pretty excited. I mean, it's just sort of a more minimalist approach, I guess.
Right.
But
now you're
with the album, and I think the songs are, you know, at least Blake's are strong enough to stand up on their own.
So are John's.
Self admiration society. Thank you very much. So between now and the real release, are you going to start touring or just kind of wait in anticipation? What's the plan?
Oh, I think our plan is to try and do some, you know, at least like
select gigs.
Touring. Yeah, yeah. We'd like to.
No, you're based in LA now.
Yeah.
So you decided not to go back to the East Coast in the winter and all of that.
Not now.
And also for the music industry, you kind of like, you got to kind of sort of like be there, don't you?
It's funny though. We definitely did not move there for the industry. I mean, that's
all right.
That's
for the weather.
For the weather and for change.
I moved there for the industry.
John did.
Had nothing to do with his
than
band,
than
but yeah, you know, that's another thing. But Boston's. To start a band, I would much rather be in Boston than Los Angeles. I would really hate to start a band in Los Angeles, and I guess that's sort of what we've ended up doing. But so there.
Well, I don't actually think. I mean, okay, here we
so
go.
So there, a mature interview, ladies and
I'm
gentlemen.
Begging, I'm
so
begging
there.
To
yeah,
differ.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I beg to differ only
hey,
because I think
I'm not trying to. I can't push you guys apart during this interview, okay? This is not my job here. Please. Stay together, please. Thank you. For the sake of the band. Just for the band. Do it
we
for the.
We need that next advance.
Do it for the music, if nothing else. I just read that Peace and Hate has been picked up for the TV show Everwood, and I kid you not, I actually had dinner with the star of that lovely television show about a year and a half ago in Telluride, and he told me he was going to pick that song. No, I'm just kidding.
he must have heard it before we did.
But hey, licensing.
Who is he?
The
I've
star
never
of the
seen
show.
The show.
Oh, you better watch it. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
You better watch that show. You've got a song in there, for crying out loud. It's probably some pivotal episode about a couple breaking up and getting back together due to the band.
Hey, it could be.
I doubt. No, I don't think that's the. It takes place in.
You should get some writing credit.
Takes
too.
Place in Colorado in the mountains. It's kind of a like a Western non-Western sort of kind of thing. But
check it out.
All kidding aside, licensing is the best way to sell, you know, records these days. So, what other TV shows do you want your songs to be on? What would be like the perfect television show for you guys to have songs on?
We don't. Okay. Well, here I'll make a huge confession because it's going to sound incredibly. It's either going to sound pretentious or hopelessly lame. But
I'll take either one.
I
like them both.
We watch public television. We mostly watch like Masterpiece Theater.
Masterpiece Theater.
Don't
have
HBO.
Something tells me that
I have some really bad news for you. I just don't hear it replacing the theme.
Oh no,
it's
never
not
could.
Really going to. Yeah,
could.
That's
nothing,
true.
Nothing.
But let's think. PBS, huh? PBS. What show on PBS could we put you guys on? The McNeil Lehrer Report,
Hewlett
the theme.
Hauser?
Yeah,
Hewlett Hauser.
This old house. Antique Hauser's Antique name. Road Show.
Blake hates that
I
show.
I hate Antique Road Show.
Because it's
I'm
such
sorry,
a dumb
I'm not
show.
Afraid to say.
Well, no, it's a dumb show because, like, okay, this doorknob, is it worth $1 million or
$3? So
I'm sorry, but you have a crappy doorknob. You messed up. You didn't get. You got the wrong doorknob. There was the one over. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. They're so distraught. After
I just saw a John Bryan comparison.
Really?
In one of your reviews.
That's nice.
Who wrote that?
So has he heard you yet?
We know
have you
John
met him?
Not that well.
Have you gone to see him? Because I mean, he played.
Oh yeah.
Can you get me tickets? I mean,
he's
gosh,
old,
golly,
he's, think, an old, he's an old Boston boy.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, to get into the John Bryan show there in Silver.
It's a little tricky. You got to stand outside.
You got to stand outside for like three. Yeah. It's like, it's the only show at that club that's like, you know, booked for the next 500 years.
I'm just
Largo's
amazed
a great place, though.
Continues to
yeah. music. It's always, I mean, they.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, like almost every night of the week, they've got something really
We've had a lot of the Largo gang in here.
Oh,
it's pretty neat stuff.
Yeah.
You didn't have a big time producer on board. This truly is a homemade record. Is that good or bad for your second record? Because do you think that if this thing goes where it's supposed to go, that selling is like, okay, we need to put a producer in the mix.
What would you do? Well, it'd be fun to work with some other people, but I think
That was very diplomatic. Very diplomatic.
I think we'll probably start it at home and then maybe do more.
Get a big
outside.
Mixer kind of thing.
I don't know about that. It's, you know,
we'll
why
see.
Waste money?
We're, I mean, I think we're pretty happy like working in our little our little world at home. Yeah.
So speaking of toys at home, let's talk about reverb for at least an hour. Or just the toys that you played with in your studio, because there was a little bit of reverb on this record.
Well, it's mostly actually echo, delay.
Ah, echo, delay.
Yeah, it's not
E-delay.
Not too much reverb, actually. Uh-huh. I mean, there's some amp.
See, I knew I'd get into a technical reverb. Discussion here when you say, let's talk about reverb to a guy like this. It's like
going
to go on for years.
Going for a while.
Yeah. That'll be the rest of the interview. Okay.
I'll hold back. I don't want to talk about
no,
reverb.
But all kidding. No, but okay, let's do it this way. When you were talking and thinking about the sound of the album, did you have a sound in mind, or did you just kind of concentrate on the songs and what they were about and then just let it? I mean, we talked about a building from there, but when you said, I mean, I'm not looking for influences because I have a much sneakier way to do that in a couple of minutes. You know, I'm not going to do the influences question. I've got, like I said, something much better. But did you think about what you wanted this album? You know, we mentioned John Bryan, and, you know, you take that as a compliment and all of that. But what did you want this album to sound like?
Well, if I could just jump in really quickly, and John could probably answer the question better, but just to say, when we started this album, neither of us had any idea that it was going to end up being a record together. So John was starting to record stuff, and I was starting to record songs as well, separately.
Right.
And so I don't think, at least in the beginning, there was no idea of having a unified kind of sound. I think that kind of came later, and I'm sure John can.
Yeah, I think there was one track in particular that was the most sort of collaborative track, which was Peace and Hate. And I think that song sort of, for us, it was like, okay, hey, this could be kind of a cool band or whatever you want to call it. And so I think in some ways the material that kind of fit with that ended up being sort of how we chose stuff for this record. So it wasn't really like, oh, it's got to sound like this or that, you know, but we did try to like make a conscious effort to make sure that we weren't just like randomly throwing in songs because we like these songs here or there. You know, we just tried to sort of make it, you know, fit contextually production-wise and thematically.
Yeah, because we'd each been writing kind of more songs than ended up on the record during the time when we broke up.
It just hit me. I was going to ask you why you named the band, but my theory is because you submerged and then you emerged back up.
That's nice.
Sure.
That could be.
Did that work?
That's perfect.
I was just thinking it was like a metaphor for the relationship. You know, it sunk and then it, you know, came back to.
That's good. It's interesting. Everyone
you're like, but that has nothing to do with anything.
Well,
but thank you for sharing
people
that.
People have different ideas
name.
Of
it's
why
kind of
we
cool
came
name.
Up with
yeah,
the
it's a cool
name.
Little name.
I like it that people have.
I'm amazed nobody's used it yet.
Oh, people have.
Huh?
Not really.
Oh well, that's the end of that.
No, there's a
big
punk
laughs
band.
In the background from producer Katie on the microphone there.
No, there's a punk band with the name, but they apparently
you can't acknowledge us. Do you realize
what
the lawyer told us, Blake?
No, he's joking. As far as
no,
we know,
but they were called
up.
The Submarines, and it was actually a military village people kind of thing.
Right.
Secondary village people. The sub. Never mind.
We'll just have to add something onto the name. I don't. Yeah, if we go to the UK or something.
Well, but yes, right. UK Squeeze wasn't it? It was UK Squeeze. Squeze. Their first album was called U.
Oh,
they
yeah.
they
There's
were
a band
U.
called the UK Subs.
The UK Subs. Was. That's right. What? And there was the Charlatans. I just saw it South by Southwest. Yeah. The Charlatans UK.
Right.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah. Well,
I think John is kind of kidding. I think we're going to be all right with the Submarines.
Really. You know, we actually we watched Das Boot when we first met, and that's kind of where we.
Thank
we
you very much.
We told someone this, and they definitely took it the wrong way. I just want to say we love the movie Das Boot, which does happen to be like a submarine World War II movie. The Nazis do die at the end, so that is like people think that because it's about Nazis that we must have some bizarre, you know.
It's not a very political movie.
It's not a terrifically political movie. It's
you never
incredible.
Know where these interviews are going to go.
Yeah.
You just don't
have
you
think
you're
going
to be yes. Yeah. You just don't think you're going to be talking about Das Boot.
No,
somehow
you know,
it's very
think,
long.
You know, just don't know.
More like where the name.
Are you writing new songs, and will they still be about life as it relates to the two of you? Or are you thinking about like a war-torn rock opera like Das Boot?
That's a good idea. Yeah, who knows? Actually, no.
Are you writing new songs?
Yeah, we're starting to work on new stuff.
Yeah,
it's
like what are they going to like be like about and sound like and
know,
like
man.
That? You know.
I don't know. What are they going to be like? Hopefully, not too happy.
Oh no! Well,
not too happy. Because you're the Submarines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I think we'll just
you're not like the rowboats.
Nope.
right? Or the dinghies.
Or even speedboats.
Did you consider the dinghies?
The dinghies, that's a sexy name.
Yeah,
the dinghies.
That's really hot.
Can you hear it right now? Ladies and gentlemen, that was
This is John from the dinghies.
That was...
on KUSF.
That was the new song, Peace and Hate by the dinghies.
Yikes.
All right, this is a great moment to segue into something else. Thank you very much. So the last thing that we like to do, and this is how we fill out the hour, and we don't ask influences, is we call it a musical sandwich. Hmm. And here's how we play the game. It's like a little game show. We pick two of your songs as the bread, and then we pick as many songs as you want from other artists in between. Hmm. And then I play it precisely as you ask for it. So now knowing your two personalities, this should be a really interesting mix because you have to pick songs that are only from that channel. So basically what we're going to do...
We have online access here because my brain's not functioning.
Well, we'll make it work.
All right.
But you know what? I'm just thinking that what we'll do since you're in either microphone is I'll only play that channel of the song you select. I'm kidding.
We'll stay away from anything.
Could you imagine?
Recorded, you know.
But I was just going to say, you pick certain things. You would get just the vocal and none of the. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I love listening to records.
That'd be pretty. Yeah, I know. I'm a geek that way too. That'd be good. pretty weird. Okay, so I need two of your songs from this lovely album as the bread, and then just riff. And again, I'll cut this so it actually. You can take your time, John. I'll actually make it sound like you're awake and you know what the hell you're doing.
Have I been sounding sleepy?
No. But you sounded like you were a little nervous about the. You were a little nervous about the assignment here.
I've always had a problem with being in school.
Yeah, you and me. But I understand. But she only lasted in Harvard for 2 years. So yeah.
No, I just didn't graduate from there.
Okay, Modern Inventions is my pick.
Okay, Modern Inventions is Piece of the Bread number one. And
Peace and Hate would be mine.
Well, there's I want that Augustus Pablo song that we really like, but I don't know the name of it.
Well, which one? Is it the...
I was going to say it's the one with the melodica, but they all have melodica. Yeah.
Thanks for your help so far. That's really going to help me a lot when I'm searching this out.
No.
Oh my God!
It's
there's
the best
one song,
song
that I wish you would play, but it might be hard to find.
Do you have the CD here?
I can find all sorts of stuff.
Okay, a guy named Byron Lee.
Yeah.
Does a song. I think it's called "One Bad Apple." You know that song?
So that's a version. So that's a version of the Osmonds tune.
And the Debonairs.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Is the Osmonds
Byron
did it? Lee
and the Osmonds did "One Bad Apple." Yeah. That was originally them.
Does it go like "One Bad"?
Yes.
Apple.
Yeah. 1968.
Oh,
yes.
This guy Byron Lee did a version of it.
It's
so good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, that was an Osmond song, scarily enough.
Okay, well, we can go with that instead of King Tubby, I guess.
Well, let's come on, Kim, give me more. I need a bunch.
The Osmonds version.
I won't do the Osmonds version. You're safe with me. I won't do it. If I can't find Byron, I'll sing it myself.
See, I can't remember song titles. I can tell you, like, which track on the record.
Okay, go ahead, do it.
Right, there's this band, Guther, I really like.
Oh, yeah.
And they have
Boys
the first.
Do not think, I think it's called.
How do you spell Guther?
G-U-T-H-E-R.
That's what I'm searching for this. Guther.
Yeah.
And decided with Guther, not Guther.
Well, it's got an umlaut.
I don't know. Oh, okay.
See,
Guther.
It's a weird German influence.
Yeah,
I don't know where
go.
It comes from. nothing wrong with Germany.
Okay, is there a song by Guther?
I don't know what the name of it is.
Yeah, it's called Boys Do Not Think, I think.
That's not the one I like.
This is going really,
like.
This is going really well so far. This is really working out, let me tell you.
Well,
I'm going to come up with another idea.
Tools, you can chop
I'm going to come up with another idea soon.
I like, there's an Emiliano Torini song called Sunny Road that I really like. I don't know if we're trying to agree on everything.
No,
you're not. Please don't. We'll spoil the flow.
I've got
how about a Super Furries thing? Ethiopique. Do you know that album that just came out? It's the Ethiopian, the first track on Ethiopique Volume 1.
Okay.
It's really good.
These are not the influences I would have suspected.
No,
we listen to a lot more
that's what
I would say world music, but not exactly.
Which is good.
Like funky, like the Congotronics record. Do you know
that's
that?
Pretty cool stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, something from Congotronics.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, you can do it. Come up with a couple.
Oh, what's that record you just bought? That woman's an amazing voice. I don't know if she's Cuban. No.
I wouldn't put her in our sandwich.
So do you guys go out to eat really early? So that way if you have to be somewhere afterwards, you make sure that you have enough time.
Yeah.
Why do you ask that?
I'm just watching. I'm just...
Because
I'm just watching how this is going.
Yeah.
Well, this is important stuff.
You know, it's like the top 10 thing. Like, what are your top 10 records?
Oh, no, I don't do that. Oh, no, no.
Oh, yeah, that is so hard.
No, I can tell you right now, I don't do top 10s. I refuse. I will not do it.
And that's making me think of the Jam Sound Effects, which is a record I really like. Man in the Corner Shop, I like that song.
Okay, Man in the Corner Shop by the Jam. We got one! Only because the sound effects record in the studio reminded him of the cover.
Yeah.
Okay, what does this remind you of?
DigiCard.
I like that. Well, maybe this is too contemporary, but I like that Cat Power song, Living Proof.
That's not too contemporary. That's okay. Like that. That's fine.
he said just tracks before 1970.
Yeah.
Actually, I said between 70 and 71.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, you got one more for me?
Sure, that sounds great.
Francois Hardy? Oh, boy, okay. Is that what you wanted?
That's probably not what John wants.
Whatever.
You get one more. Come on, you can do it.
How about Vegetable Man?
What is that?
It's an early Pink Floyd single.
There you go.
Yeah.
See? She's like, okay, where... Does he like go from ordering French fries to Coco Van out of nowhere?
Pretty much. Although those kind of go together.
Yeah, I guess they do. Well, thank you so much.